Okay, what is going on YouTube? Welcome back to another FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam from FPL Family. And Sam, it is hotting up in the Premier League. We've got a race for the top four that I think is going to go down to the wire. Hotting up, isn't it?
I don't care.
You can't start like that. You can't let me give it the big build up like that. It's a race for the top four. It's really exciting. You just go, I don't care.
Well, we're not in it, are we? So,
well, we will talk about Spurs a bit later on, of course. I don't know if you've heard, Sam, but bread is bread, cheese is cheese. I don't know if you've heard this from Jose Mourinho in his post-match press conference, saying that Son's father is a better man than Ollie, and that bread is bread and cheese is cheese. Have you heard these comments, and what do you make of it? What FPL insight can we get from bread is bread and cheese is cheese?
I prefer not to speak.
I prefer not to speak because, to be honest with you, it would be a disaster if you did. Guys, welcome to FPL Family. We'll be talking about all of the weekend's action. We've just had game week 31.
Oh, come on now.
Game week 31 we've just had. Game week 32 on the horizon. Of course, game week 32 is important because officially it's a double game week. There's only one team that doubles and that is Spurs. So, of course, we'll be going into those guys. In a bit of detail, that would be very unlike us to go into a bit of detail on Spurs, wouldn't it? But lots to discuss ahead of that double game week.
It's the 1 week I don't want to talk about Spurs.
It's the 1 week you don't want to talk about it because that was a bit of an abject performance from Spurs earlier. Or was it just that Manchester United were very, very good? We'll talk about that a bit later on. Let's get into the live chat. Let's say hello to a few people. First and foremost, though, we have to say... who is on today's board? Talk us through the board today.
You've done the board. I don't approve of this, so we'll just get rid of
that. Is that
that?
So the Manchester United team are gone.
No, that's all right.
That's all right, is it? Okay. Yeah. Well, talk us through it because, you know, this is the world's best feature for podcasts right here. This is the...
oh, yeah, for the podcast viewers, there was a magic moment of the Man United team celebrating that Lee had put up on the board, and I have... thrown it away.
Bit of a new feature that we introduced a couple of weeks ago. Don't really know what to do with this board, to be honest with you. But what I have taken to doing is putting a few Panini stickers that are... oh, get the Liverpool badge up there. Absolutely
right. There you
right.
go. Thank
I
you
like
won.
That. We'll take that.
Winners.
We'll take that. Although I don't think our performance really warranted us going on the board, but we'll talk about that later
on.
You
were winners.
We were. That is true.
So we've got Adama Traore.
Yes.
For his last minute...
the greased up Adama Traore with the last minute 90-something winner for Wolves, which, to be honest with you, given the chaos around the previous VAR call, and we will discuss VAR a bit tonight, I don't think we can go the whole live stream without discussing VAR and some of the calls this weekend.
No.
But justice in the end, I think justice done there for Wolves, who probably deserved the win.
And you wonder now, don't you, about players like Traore and Podence, with Neto going off injured in that game,
yeah,
what that impact might have. Although I did hear a rumour that Jimenez is back in training.
Oh, so, really? Okay,
I don't know whether that is actually true or not.
Hard luck for Neto owners, because there will be a lot of wildcarders that bought Neto in.
Particularly with the fixtures.
On the wildcard, the fixtures are good, so you bought him in for those. And that's... I don't know the extent of the injury, though. Is it a bad one? Or what,
I don't know.
What's
I, don't, I, didn't, I haven't heard anything really solid yet. And I expect it will take a couple of days. So it'll be one, two. I think if you bought him in on the wildcard, I would just hold him until press conferences later on in the week and see what Nuno has to say.
Elsewhere in the headlines,
Havertz deciding he was actually going to play football this week.
Elite.
And actually was elite this week, deserving of the elite sticker.
How good were
this
Chelsea?
Week.
How good were they?
They were really good.
Or were Palace bad or was it Chelsea?
I think it was a bit of both, to be honest. Palace were bad and we'll talk about that later.
Right, a bit later on.
But
okay.
I think, well, we won't talk about them too much because, of course, they blank in 32.
That's true, yeah.
But Chelsea...
in case you're thinking of piling into Crystal Palace,
just
by the way.
Just in case you suddenly had a moment of, yeah, Crystal Palace are all on. But I thought Kai Havertz was really, really good in this game and I wondered in part whether that was because we were missing... Timo Werner didn't play in that
more
game.
More about his out-of-position potential later on. Elsewhere in the headlines,
West Ham leads Liverpool.
West Ham continuing to defy the odds, I think, in the Premier League this year. What another big win at home to Leicester City in a race for the top four. Sensational win. Went 3-0 up, almost fluffed it again, West Ham.
Yeah, but
held on.
I mean,
very good.
To be fair, Leicester were woeful for most of that game. Ian Ashford played well. The rest of them... could really tell they were missing the creative players like Maddison and Perez and
more
and
about that later on, including the headlines around Messrs. Maddison and Perez and what they've been
naughty
up to
boys.
Off the pitch, which I hadn't heard the headline until you told me it, and I was Wow, I was kind of shocked and surprised, to be honest with you, in terms of what they've been getting up to.
What are they up to?
Not good, not good. Elsewhere, Leeds United winning at the Etihad in a result that none of us saw, but the Pep Roulette...
Anyone play Dallas? Anyone play Dallas? No?
Well, this is it.
Everyone,
I mean,
benching or selling this
I
week?
Saw that as we were coming in the live chat. Lots of people benching Dallas, but that is going to be, I think, one of the stories of the weekend is that Dallas will be on a lot of benches.
I was praying Luke Shaw wasn't going to play today.
Anyone that has had Diaz auto-subbed off for Dallas, get in the live chat. I want to know if you're a Diaz to Dallas jammy 17 points off your bench. And then you've kindly put Liverpool in there as well with another decent win, although we'll talk more about that performance, including a certain Trent Alexander-Arnold, who... You know, listen, offensively look great. Defensively, I'm not quite so sure.
What?
But in FPL, we're not necessarily getting him for that. We're getting him for the goals at the end of the game.
I mean, to be fair, we actually didn't have a lot of... I mean, in this pile of swapsies that Max has kindly donated to the live stream, Liverpool, best of a bad bunch. I mean, we can't put Aubameyang elite up there. It's not even in the squad.
No.
Jamie Vardy, blank. Bruno Fernandes, blank. Kevin De Bruyne.
Well, this is why I've gone with the stickers that I've gone with, Sam. This is our new... This is what it could be. The like headline. Just to sort of the opening chat. What are the headlines from the FPL game week? And we'll do it
via
the board.
It's a good job there's no Spurs swapsies, because quite frankly, we'll never make it.
We'll do it via the board, especially for you podcast listeners who cannot see a thing that's going on and just have to listen to the waffle.
Yeah.
Shout out also to London Colney Colts, by the way, Max's team. Under 7's Blues won 5-1 today.
Hooray, the Blues!
Come on, you Colts. First league game back from lockdown. But the boys played very, very well. And the little man got a goal as well. And he took it very, very well.
Don't do that.
What?
He did just get a goal. He got an assist. He probably got some bonus
goal
points.
Goal and assist. Probably a bonus point or two, I'd say, for Colney Colts there.
And when he went in goal, kept a clean sheet.
Kept a clean sheet.
He's an all-rounder. Come on, the boys.
Come on, Colney Colts. Absolutely. To be honest with you, the football could have done anything today. I was so happy with that this morning. Absolutely sensational. So well done to London Colney Colts. Let's say hello to a few people. I've already missed a super chat. Guess who the super chat's from, Sam? Mr. Stealth Panda himself, Kens. Thank you, Kens, for the super chat. Very kind of you. He says, hey, guys. Hope yous are both okay. We are okay, mate. No worries.
What we're not
a
really
wild game week. But what is always the same is Lingard going on a mad one at this rate. Honestly, that's three double figures in a row, he says, for Jesse. And I'll tell you what. For the first time in a number of weeks, I've been cheering the Jesse goals because I've not had him, but I did fix that on my wild card, and goodness me, what a player he is to have.
The thing is, when you own Jesse Lingard at the moment, it's almost like, yeah, I'll just play Jesse, because you kind of feel like he's going to get points every time.
Really good, really, especially that first one. It was like a toe pump curler.
He's just got so much confidence, hasn't he?
Don't know. I mean,
more about Jesse Lingard later, of course, but
confidence is absolutely the word. The confidence to take on that first one and shoot from there is honestly mind-blowing. I still maintain, and
no,
I'll be happy to be proved wrong.
I think you're wrong. I really think you're wrong on this one.
We totally disagree on this, don't we? But
yeah.
I'm not sure. I think he'd be rubbish.
I don't
next
think
year.
He's as a heart.
Big contract
I don't think he's a
in the summer.
I don't think
rubbish
he is.
Next year.
I think he's I think being in London, being at West Ham, who want him and love him, I think it's made a difference. I think Jesse Lingard just wants to be loved.
Not feeling it.
And David Moyes has shown him some love.
Bossman 525 agrees with you. He says he's proven the doubters wrong. He's proven it wrong. Yeah. Well, listen, he is right now, no doubt about it. But after that big contract, let's see where those doubters are at. A super chat from Azzy. Hey, Azzy, how are we doing? He says, love my boy, Alan Saint-Maximin. What a cameo. Comes on 56 and within 5 minutes completely turns the game on its head.
Well, look.
Big for Newcastle, that.
All
absolutely
I'll say
huge.
Do you remember right at the beginning, pre-season, we did a video with the Premier League.
Yeah.
They come back.
You were all over St Maximin.
Basically came to our house. Yeah. And we did a video. And in that video, St Maximin was my pick of the season. Now, it's been a terrible pick of the season, to be fair. But do you know what? Maybe St Max, because he did this last time. Do you remember in Project Restart?
Yeah,
He was the one that was like, right, come on, drags the rest of them. Maybe.
Maybe
it might be a really nice differential to the end of the season.
It's only taken you 31
weeks. I might go there on my wild card just for fun. Why not?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Let's get into the
Bruno Fernandes.
Let's get into the live chat. Joe Finley Badder is here.
Hey,
Joe. He's in and moderating. How are you doing, mate? How are Watford doing?
I don't know. Do you know, I was just about to say how are Watford doing.
We're doing all right.
We should know that. They're only down.
We should know that. They're doing all right.
They're coming back up.
I've got absolutely no idea.
Joe?
Andrew Yee is in. He says Pogba in for Bruno. We'll talk more about Pogba later on. He did play very well, Pogba, I have to say.
Did you think he did?
I thought he did play well, yeah. I thought he really did.
I think, you know when you asked me that question before about were Chelsea good or were Palace bad? I think that applies to Pogba too.
Maybe. Well, maybe. Let's see. James Omani in with the super chat. You're not going to like this one, Sam, I'm afraid. So close your ears. Should have been 4-0 today, he says. Come on, you mighty Reds. Son is a disgrace. James, you cannot say that. You cannot.
He hit him around the face.
In fact,
if anything, McTominay deserved to be sent off.
More on that later on. B is in. Hey, B. How are you doing? Nice to see you. Hands up if you're a Creswell owner. Off on 52 minutes.
Why have you brought this up?
Listen, I'm just reading what B said in the chat. I've not brought it up intentionally. B has said it in the chat.
Look, I thought B and I were friends.
Well, you might have to go and have a word with her.
The thing is with Creswell, it's really frustrating. I was really annoyed, as the guys in the Slack will testify to, I was really annoyed on 52 minutes because Leicester were totally out of it. I didn't think there was a goal coming from them.
Russ Young is in. He says, Watford second, Sam.
Yes, come on, Watford.
Yeah, doing all right. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, so I think I was really annoyed because I thought, there's going to be a clean sheet here and I'm going to miss out because he's going off on 52 minutes. And bless him, he did try and play on. But then that worries me more because he tried to play on. He literally lasted about 20 seconds and then had to go off. And then, of course, the end of the game was as such that he would have got no points anyway. So it wasn't the end of the world. But it does leave me in a quandary moving forwards.
Sure.
Because I had a plan for next week and Creswell was part of that plan.
Okay.
Now...
All right, B says we are friends, Sam. It's been a hard week.
Oh, B. It's a hard week.
You're not
it's
wrong,
been a hard
B.
blooming season, I tell
You're
you.
You're not wrong. Roger is in. He's saying, Son is a disgrace, but I'm still getting him in for the double. Harry Watson says, I agree with you, Sam. 100% a foul on Son. 100% a foul on
Son. Can't hit someone around the face. It's not. If that happens anywhere else, you'd be like, that's a foul.
Abhishek is in. Is that Sam or Jose next to you, Lee? Oh, dear. Bit harsh in here tonight, Sam.
I mean, to be fair,
it's a bit harsh.
He's hit him round the face. If I went outside in public and smacked you round the face like that, I'd get arrested.
Well, one thing's for sure, bread
actual,
is bread
actual
and
bodily
cheese
harm.
Is cheese, according to Jose Mourinho. we are now firmly in Jose Mourinho bonkers territory, aren't we? We're coming into the third season. We're going to start getting quotes like this in the press because... He's had a bad result. He wants to deflect from the team and just instead go after Ole Gunnar Solskjaer with Son's dad and talk about bread and cheese. It's classic Jose and I'm here for it, guys. It's classic Jose.
My mum texted me just before we came on this stream. I haven't had a chance to text her back yet because it literally arrived as we went live. And it just says, is Jose even going to make it into the final? Is he even going to make it?
I forget you've got a cup final coming up. That, in your view, does winning the Carabao Cup save Jose Mourinho? Does it save him? Or does he need to go?
Okay, there's two answers to this. The first answer to
I'm just winding up. I don't expect an answer.
You're going to get one. The first answer to the question is, if Jose brings home that trophy, and by the way, I think the chances of this are cheese being bread, that we win it.
you haven't even used the cheese and the bread in the right context.
I have, of course I have, because we won't win it. So cheese isn't bread. Is it?
What are you talking about?
Right, the chances of us winning this cup final are like literally none. We've got no chance of winning it.
You and Jose and your bread and your cheese. I don't understand.
Bread is bread, cheese is cheese. In this case, the chance of us winning it is that bread becomes cheese. There's no chance.
By the way, Sam, it's now Arsenal 3, Sheffield United.
Who's
it looks
got this
like
one?
Lacka's got a brace.
That's you losing the points prediction again this week.
That is disappointing because he was going to be one of those that I bought in this week.
In fact, take that up with...
What's going
to
do that?
Gary in the Slack told you not to do that,
didn't
he?
Yeah, Gary in the Slack said don't touch Arsenal with a barge pole, so I didn't bring in Lacka. To be honest with you...
take that with Gary.
It was one of those where... Listen, I'm a wild. I could sit here and say I thought about bringing everybody.
To be fair,
in
your front three, you wouldn't have changed though. In the end, would you? Ian actually got a brace.
Yeah.
Vidra got a goal.
I could. Well, I've got a lot of money in the bank. I could have used it for Lacazette, but I just felt like I was booking in a transfer anyway.
Yeah, but going back to the question you asked me, we won't win the cup final. However, and this is where it gets a bit controversial because for me, and I think for the majority of Spurs fans, we would all agree that probably he does need to go. However. If he wins us the cup final, I love him forever.
Right, okay, well, there we go. Love him forever if he wins the cup final.
If he doesn't, then...
There's the Twitter on the left-hand side, guys. At FPL Family over on Twitter and at FPL Family over on Instagram. Are we creeping closer to the 10K?
I don't know what's going on over on Instagram at the minute. We seem to have gone...
Oh, really flattening out. You've got end-of-season-itis. That's what happens, I'm afraid, in the FPL community as you get towards the end of the season. Wait till August. It'll go up. Don't worry about that.
Wow. Yeah.
What? You think not? Why not?
Yeah, but I want to get to 10K by the end of this season.
Well, there we go, guys. Anybody that's not following us over on Instagram, get over there.
Come on
now. Get over on the Instagram. Been doing the Insta reactions this week?
Yeah, but I didn't do one to Spurs because, quite honestly, I was a bit upset.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely fine.
So I did one to every other game. In fact, I did. I forgot, because I was watching the Spurs preview to the Spurs game, and I was talking to my mum on the phone. I forgot to do an Insta reaction to West Ham, so I had to do an Insta reaction to West Ham live in play during the Spurs game.
There it is. Yeah, there it is. Right, let's get on to some of these games now. I need to switch windows, and in classic FPL family fashion, I'm going to do that seamlessly by waffling and filling, so that I can get to this window and I can waffle and fill until I get to... Has my phone going off? I'm going to put that on mute. And we are here at the page. Right, where do you want to start? Let's start. I want to start at Selhurst Park. I want to start with this fantastic performance from Chelsea. Listen, we know how solid they can be defensively. Just so happens they've conceded 6 goals in their last 2. So everyone piling into them on the wild card defensively. I still think that that was a blip against West Brom. They probably should have kept a clean sheet here, but...
One chance,
one goal. Benteke, what can you say? Clinical, absolute world-class from Benteke. but the one thing you would say about Chelsea in particular is we've sat here for a long, long time, many, many weeks, and said we don't know who to go to offensively in Chelsea. Are we starting to get some answers now?
Well, we've got the Mount answer, I think.
Right.
I'm as elite as I... What is going on today? As elite as I think Havertz was in this game, and I do think he was absolutely brilliant in this game, I think the way that Tuchel played him in terms of his positioning made him have a good game. And I do have a slight concern that when Werner, because he sort of made some comment pre-game about how Werner was close to burnout and he needed to give him a bit of time off, and so I do have a slight concern that when Werner's back, what does that mean for Havertz and Havertz positioning on the pitch? Because I thought Havertz and Pulisic together were absolutely phenomenal.
They really bounced off each other, didn't they? And yeah. I actually thought, and I still do think this with Havertz, he's a young man, we forget that, right? He's a young man.
Yeah.
He's, you know, if you're that age and you've got to, you know, change country, you've got to settle, you know, it's not... We as fans, we often look at that and we think, oh, well, he's whatever he was, 70, I don't even know what it was, 50, 70 million, whatever it was.
It was expensive.
Okay, you come along with a massive price tag and you think, we as fans, we sit there and we go, right, well, big price tag must mean...
Big expectations.
Big expectations, he's going to settle in and smash it straight away. And the reality is, for a young man of that age to come over to the Premier League, and it's a very physical league, a very fast league, different league, but in the context of you've got to move house, you've got to settle, you've got to move country... I mean, that is a big ask.
And just got a new manager.
But I wonder now whether he's just starting to feel part of that team. And yes, I understand, you know, playing in that full-time position, he's going to get more chances. He was third for shots today, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Only Salah and Iheanacho had more. So he was top for midfielders for shots. But even if Werner or Abraham in the future or anybody comes back in, surely he drops into the 10 and he's still quite effective in that area because he's got this confidence about him now.
He definitely played with confidence. I don't know. I felt like it was the first time I'd watched Chelsea and I'd seen a proper attacking partnership for this season. I think there's been games where you've seen one player or two players that have sparked and been really impressive.
Can you trust Pulisic, though? He seems, I still maintain, quality player.
Do you mean because of injury?
But he's made a wee bit, Pulisic. At any given moment, he can... be prone to an injury and then you've got a problem in your team. Here's my question then. So coming up to your wild card, first question is, are you thinking of investing in Chelsea offensively? And if you are, is it just a straight choice between Mount and Havertz, or is there a bit more to it in terms of the decision?
No, I think it's easier than that. I think I'll just go Mount.
Right, okay.
I just think that with Mount, you know exactly what you're going to get week in, week. Yeah, we haven't seen that consistency from Oh, I've got the hiccups. Consistency from Havertz, yeah. Sorry. And yeah, so I do worry. I do really like Pulisic. And I think if we could get a consistent run out of him, I think he'd be really good. Look, I thought Chelsea were absolutely fantastic in this game and I take nothing away from them. If we get another performance like this from them next week, then that's possibly something I look at. But then ahead of game week 33, that's when they've got their first... slightly difficult fixture,
yeah,
isn't it?
Brighton at home next week. Then it's West Ham away, which is looking pretty, well, potentially quite pivotal for the top four. Then they go home to Fulham. So a couple of London derbies there. And then away to City before they play another London derby home to Arsenal. So the fixtures are not that easy on paper for Chelsea. But the Brighton game at home looks okay, right? Although they will be coming off the back of that Porto game that they've got in the middle of this week.
Yeah, and I think for most people going into that game, you're going to be having other priorities, given it's a double game week for Spurs, given that the week after Manchester City and Spurs both blank. So there's going to be lots of food for thought, I think, for FPL managers that's probably not going to then prioritise bringing in a Chelsea player for this time round, particularly when you then look at the fixtures, because I don't know, how many Chelsea do you want for the rest of the season? If they play like they did against Crystal Palace, then I want to invest. But it was Crystal Palace. They were woefully bad.
Palace were really bad defensively. And that Brighton is the one. It's the one caveat I will put around all this Havertz hype. I don't want to overhype him because they were statuesque at times, Palace. They were shell-shocked after that first 10 minutes. Two quick-fire goals. And don't get me wrong, I was impressed with Chelsea. I've been very impressed with Chelsea under Tuchel since he's come. You guys know my feelings on Chelsea. I think they're going to be big next season. Definitely ones to look out for. I know Tips is in. He's saying Mount is England's best midfielder. You could have that argument. We can have that argument on another podcast. But right now...
Lingard,
listen. You could.
I've thrown you now with Lingard.
You've thrown me a bit because I expected you to go, oh, Grealish phone. You've just gone straight in with Jesse. But the point is, you could make the argument for Mount right now as one of the best midfielders in the game.
I agree. I think of the Chelsea players right now, Mount is their best player.
It's joint second for chances created. So, interestingly, five chances created. Zinchenko, Hudson-Odoi, who also started that game. Unlucky Reece James owners, although he did come on and get the assist, Reece James.
Jammy.
And then Fernandinho, top for chances created. But then Mount and McNeil in there with four each. And I also noticed with Mount, joint second for crosses as well. Joint second for touches in the opponent's half. So, listen... Okay, he only got the assist. I think he got 7 points this game week. But it's a lot to like there in those underlying stats. And going home to Brighton, I think it's a nice fixture to bring him in. But as Henry Sampson is saying in the live chat, just be wary of those fixtures coming up after that.
And also Brighton they're more solid than Crystal Palace are defensively. So they won't... I think Chelsea will win the game, I don't think it will be quite the whitewash that it was against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, as Azzy is saying, Mount is a rock steady pick. Won't explode... But we'll tick over.
I would agree with that.
And at 7.1 million, that's okay to have him ticking over at that money, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
And he will tick over. He's got corner set pieces. The delivery for Zouma's goal was absolutely pinpoint.
Yeah.
I really like him. I brought him in on the wild card.
And we've seen...
But exactly as he suggested, tick him over, absolutely.
You know, and you take that West Ham game that they've got the week after, and if Creswell's hamstring has gone, then they're without Creswell, they're without Rice. That's problematic.
West Ham starting to feel it a bit.
That's
maybe
problematic
injury-wise,
in terms of keeping clean sheets anyway. So maybe that game on paper is a little bit easier now than it potentially could have been.
And very, very quickly, what are we saying about the Chelsea defence? Are we worried now after West Brom and now this?
I thought you were about Crystal Palace. I was going to go moving on.
No, forget about Palace. Not touching them
the
with a bunch of bombs. Because a lot are doubled up. There's some that are trebled up. I know General went treble up a couple of weeks ago. So he's obviously hurting from this. Is this something we should be concerned about? Or home to Brighton... Are we saying play your two, play your three? They'll be all right.
Well, you play them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just got Aspie. I don't think I'm keeping him after my wild card, though.
Okay.
I just don't think the clean sheets look like they're there till the end of the season. I had him for these three, and he hasn't managed to keep a clean sheet yet.
Okay. All right, listen. More to discuss on Chelsea, I suspect, in the coming weeks, because one thing's for sure, they're bang on form.
Oh, they are.
And they seem to have found their scoring boots as well, which is frightening for the rest of us that are looking to get into that top four. Speaking of which, Liverpool 2, Aston Villa 1, also Saturday 3 o'clock.
Right, we need to have a VAR conversation about this because...
Oh, no, we don't.
We have to, Lee. Oh. Because in my view, this was the worst VAR decision of the season so far.
Oh, no, trust me, we've had worse, but this is pretty bad.
This one, for me, was the worst one of the season so far.
Do you mean the Jota one?
Yeah, yeah.
It is bad, but it's not worse than Bamford pointing.
No,
remember that one?
No, well, yeah. But this,
not worse than...
But this one annoys me. So the Bamford pointing one was just ludicrous. But this one frustrates me more than the others we've seen. This one, and there was another one that was the same as this a couple of weeks ago. Because as a football fan, you watch these... Oh, it was Sam, wasn't it? Where he was going running the other way and it clipped the back of his ankle.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that one. And these ones annoy me more than anything. Because when they're that tight... It's just ridiculous. It is ridiculous that goal gets ruled offside. Utterly ridiculous, in my opinion.
Well, I think I was in either the Slack or one of my WhatsApp groups and somebody sent me, I think it's in the Slack actually, somebody posted a picture And Jota is kind of... Now, when you run...
But you lean when you run.
Your natural position is you sort of run, you lean forward. And even during the... And I really don't want to spend any more time on this. But when Jota is leaning forward, and then they're drawing the lines, right? They're forensically looking at it. You can see the guy, like, moving it more to the left, as if to say, right, at what stage can I justify this being offside? And, all right, maybe I've got the red goggles on a bit. But it was almost like, right, I keep going, right, just there. He's offside there. We could just about get away with that being, you know, the bottom of his shirt sleeve or something. But let me tell you something. If Jota was in front of goal, 1 yard out, and he went like that and put it in with his elbow, that's a handball.
The thing that annoyed me about it was that if you have to... It's football, right? One of the things we love about football is the conversations that they cause. This is ruining it, because at the point where you are spending 10 minutes, millimetres moving lines, millimetre by millimetre by millimetre, you ruin the game.
Oh, listen, you know my feelings on VAR. You don't need to get me started on that. It's absolutely ludicrous. And as you know, obviously we do a lot of work with the Premier League, but, you know, a lot of the time we are not allowed to talk about it. Right, we're not allowed to talk about it because it's like, well, you can't go around this in VAR. But, and do you know what? Even the broadcasters now, right? You can see.
Well, Gary Lineker was furious. Wasn't he?
Did you see that match of the day?
Yeah.
Match of the day. Lineker was just sitting there, just like, he was just like, I can't be asked to talk about this. And Wrighty was the same. Was it Wright that was on last night?
Yeah.
Ian Wright. They were both just sitting there going, can't be bothered. It's just horrendous.
And normally I'm like, well, okay, fair enough. It's offside. You know, and sometimes there was another one this weekend, wasn't there? And it was like, yeah, all right, I can see that. But this one really annoyed
Shocking.
Me. It really annoyed Shocking. Me because it was so close.
All right, well, listen, lots of opinions, let's say, in the live chat about VAR. But Liam Healy's in with the super chat. Thank you, Liam, for the super chat. Evening, Liam, Sam. Hope you're well. 61 points this week on a wild card. Into top 300K, nice. As things stand, Liam. Very nice score indeed, mate. And that is coming from a guy who was not happy with his rank a little few weeks ago, but he's on a little bit of a trajectory there, Liam. So well done, mate. Very good. We'll talk about a certain Mr. Watkins later on. He's making me look a right tit, isn't he, at Watkins? After my tweet last week, Watkins has popped up with another goal, which is... Notice that was not on Twitter all weekend. All weekend. Alisson's got to save it, right? But nevertheless, well done, Ollie Watkins. You are absolutely world-class. Let's talk about Liverpool, though. Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold. The topic of the video is, are Trent and Salah back? Now, a lot of wildcarders would have gone to Salah, would have gone to Jota, would have gone to Trent Alexander-Arnold. As a fairly sort of neutral watch in that game, do you think, you know, I've maybe made a mistake getting Jota? Or do you still think Jota, I mean, I personally thought he was absolutely in the game. He's very dangerous and probably looked more likely than Salah in many moments in the game.
Yeah. I think that's right. I thought Jota had a great game and thought he was unlucky not to get something from the game.
How does Mane not square that to him in the 94th
Because
minute?
Mane is having the worst season of his life. And I genuinely think that he's just like, I need to score. I think he's so... I need a goal that he doesn't look.
I can't even tell you what's wrong with Mane. And listen, I'm not saying get him in an FPL, so because this is an FPL show, we're not going to talk about him. But genuinely, as a Liverpool fan, I haven't got a clue what's going on with him.
He's totally gone.
Not a clue.
Isn't
he is
really
absolutely
sad.
Gone. I don't know whether he's physically tired, mentally tired, I don't know, but it's totally gone. But Salah, on the other side, we as Liverpool fans have got to look at him as an absolute gift, haven't we? Because he just keeps delivering week in, week out.
The thing what's really interesting for me with Salah is the price, right? So I did a lot of Patreon Zoom calls last week talking about wildcards with various people. And Salah came up in every conversation because if you want to own Salah from an FPL point of view, and a lot of people that were wildcarding last week did want to own Salah, but then there's some difficult choices to make elsewhere across the pitch because owning Salah and Kane, because let's be honest, with the Spurs double next week, there was no way that if you were wildcarding, you weren't going
Kane.
And you probably weren't not going Son either. So if you're spending that level of budget on those three, you're then in a situation where across the rest of your team, you're kind of going, can I afford to have this one, that one, and the other one? Now, the reality is, as we've seen this weekend, there are a lot of players in the £6-7 million bracket, Jesse Lingard, Mason Mount, various people who are really performing. And so actually there is space in the budget to have Salah. the big question is he worth the 6 million more you've got to pay for him over Jota?
What about both? A lot of wildcarders going both.
Or is there scope for both?
Because the fixtures are there for Liverpool. We've discussed that before.
Yeah, the fixtures are there for Liverpool. I thought, if I'm brutally honest, I thought that Liverpool were okay during this game. I didn't think Liverpool were fantastic.
Certainly not vintage, yes.
During this game.
Would agree.
I thought they probably, on balance, deserved to win the game. Just about.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that they were Liverpool at its best. But then they got we got the result, get the points, got the FPL points as well if you're Salah, if you're a Trent owner.
Yeah.
So, and then with the fixtures coming up, the fixtures do look incredible. So, and they seem to be finding form at the right moment, don't they? Because they're now back in the title race at a time where other clubs...
Wish we were in the title race. Top four race, maybe.
Top four race. At a time where other clubs, not to mention any in particular, are struggling. They seem to be finding a little bit of rhythm now. The big question for me is what happens as a result of next week in the Champions League.
Okay, all right. Thank you for the super chat, Mienna Sidhorn. Sidhorn, thank you, Mienna. It's a new name to FPL family.
Welcome.
So welcome, Mienna. Thank you for the super chat. Hey guys, 70 points on wildcard, but my bench was crazy. Sam's bench more heartbreaking than Forster, Vidra, Kufau and Dallas? 27 points so far on the bench.
Mine's got more in it.
You famously do have a lot of bench points every week. Have you got more than 27?
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
I have got Watkins 8, Suchek 4, Dallas 17, and currently Martinez 4.
Goodness me. Goodness me. A lot of points on benches, but for me, that is just a sign of the times. It's just the way the game has panned out this year. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
To be fair, Watkins is coming on for me for Diaz, so that's 8 points I'm getting off the bench. And if I suspect, McCarthy won't play tomorrow, then Martinez will be on as well. So it won't be that bad.
Very good. My view on the Salah versus Jota debate is I think you've got to have Jota. I think you've got to have Jota, despite the blank this
week.
If
you have Salah, do you have to have Jota?
Yeah, I think so. Jota is too good a value to turn down. He's and listen, he got the blank this weekend, but there was a header in the second half. There was the one at the end where Mane should have just tapped it in. Listen, on another day, he could have had returns, Jota. And I thought he looked dangerous throughout. So no question, if you're wildcarding in the next couple of game weeks, if you haven't got Jota, I still think you should be bringing him in. Now, with Salah, do I think that he's worth the money right now? That is a difficult question. However, he is pretty captainable over the final game weeks of the season. There's no doubt about it. Jota, do you trust him quite as much as Salah? Salah is just so consistent right now, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he's just getting the odd goal here and there. But is that enough? That's the question.
Jota's been involved in 50% of the Liverpool goals since he's been on the pitch.
Yeah.
He's more consistent than Salah in his returns.
Yeah. As the live chat is suggesting, there's definitely scope for both. What I was most pleased about in that Liverpool performance was actually the desire to want to go for it in the last few minutes. He puts Shaqiri on, which at the time I thought, like, oh my God. Why are you putting Shaqiri on for like Kabak? I was like, what are you doing? But actually that was, you know, we're going to go for it now. We've got to win this game. And it was kind of similar in the Arsenal game, actually, where he played the three of them and he chucked Jota on. And he sacrificed a midfielder and he went all out with all four of them.
Yeah.
Now, I would have liked to see that, actually, a bit earlier on against Aston Villa, but I'm not knocking the tactic because at the end of the day, we got the job done. But what I liked most about it was the 91st minute winner from Trent was a sign that maybe that mentality is just starting to come back. That, you know, we will push to the end. How many games, Liverpool last season when we won the league, did we win in the dying embers of a game when it was like, right, we've got to just win this game? And listen, that was a difficult game for Liverpool. Like, Villa are top side. They're in and around us for the race for the top four. It would have been a big problem had we not gone out and won that game. But we got the job done. And Trent, who they were lording over him on Match of the Day. They were talking about the fact that he has to be go with England. And he, you know, defensively was fantastic. Offensively fantastic. I actually thought he had a bit of a shaky game defensively. But that is not unlike Trent. But in FPL, you're looking for that attacking intent, aren't you, from a defender? With Trent, it's kind of the clean sheet is a bit of a bonus at the minute. Is he worth the money? We're talking about Salah being worth the money. Is Trent worth the 7.5 million or whatever he is worth? What do you think?
I don't know. I really struggle because watching him, I wasn't impressed with him. Like, I actually completely disagreed with everything they said about him on Match of the Day this week.
Right.
I thought he had a pretty average at best game. I didn't think that Liverpool looked comfortable at the back, but then that's the same that's been the same all season. The difference is now that you have confidence going forward again. So I feel like you can out... So those fixtures from now till the end of the season, I feel like Liverpool can outscore the teams that they've got to come up against. But do I think they can keep those teams out?
Mm.
I'm not convinced.
Not based on some of the defending we saw.
And for me, that makes Trent a really hard buy. Because at that price point, I want clean sheets. And attacking returns. Yeah. I don't just want...
Well, as Bossman 525 is saying, he was out of position too many times. He was. That's a great spot. He was. There was one in particular where I think towards the end of the game, I think El Ghazi just ghosted in behind him, got a free header on goal. And all right, El Ghazi fluffed the header, but a better, more clinical finisher would have just... And Trent's like, he's just statuesque. He really is having a shocker defensively.
It's because he doesn't have the central guys that...
Maybe.
There.
Yeah, maybe. Eric Bjornsson, thank you for the super chat. No comment on your super chat, Eric. So please feel free to stick a comment in the live chat and I will try and pick it up, mate. So no worries with that at all. Aston Villa for their part then. What are we saying about Villa? So the fixtures for Villa coming up make okay reading. It's Man City next. Then it's West Brom, Everton, Man U, Crystal Palace. So mixed at best for Villa. What are we saying about Ollie Watkins? Will he survive on your wildcard?
I think he probably will.
Right, okay. Through lack of options elsewhere up front?
Yes.
Right, okay.
I think he probably will because I don't really want to spend any more money. So one of the things that I learned this week in looking at other people's wildcards was that you have there's a lot of budget around because of the lack of premium options that you want to go for. Particularly now if we're going to talk, and we'll talk about Bruno and United in a minute. But for a lot of people, you know, thinking about taking him out, suddenly that's another premium you're down. Mm. So you look around the team and you think, right, well, is there anyone in the upper reaches of the forward line that I want to get? Well, I've already got Kane. Lacazette's having a good game tonight by the sound of it, but I don't know how much I trust Arsenal, and therefore I don't know whether I want to go up to them. I thought Vardy was incredibly average today.
You would not be going him over Iheanacho right now, would you?
Exactly. If you're going Leicester, you're not going Vardy, you're going Iheanacho. So you're looking at that lower price bracket. So when I look down at these players in this area, I think, you know, Watkins he started returning without Grealish now. That's 2-2 without Grealish. So maybe, actually, he's worth just holding, particularly as I am happy to bench him because it's the midfielders that I seem to be drawn towards at the moment.
I think it is a case of there is not a lot better than Watkins at the minute, rather than he's playing amazing.
But he got three bonus points this week. He got another 8.
I genuinely couldn't believe that. I could not believe he got 3 bonus points.
No, he got 8 points.
How does he get 3 bonus points out of that game? I absolutely no idea. I would say he probably is worth holding if you've got him.
I think the two
goals he's got in the last two games, one's a tap-in and one's, you know, Alisson's got to save it. But listen, you've got to be in those positions. You've got to be there to get the goals, right?
Of course.
So 3 bonus points. No idea how that's happened, but apparently he has. Super chat from Gaurav. Thank you, Gaurav. And very nice to talk to you, Gaurav, earlier in the week when we were talking. We're talking to each other about our wild cards, right? So Gaurav was like, oh, can you help me with a wild card? And actually, we're helping each other in the end. So Gaurav, thank you for the Zoom call. And yeah, thanks for talking to me. Spurs fan. Yeah, Spurs fan, Gaurav. So very nice to talk to you. 52 all out, he says this week. Iheanacho on my bench, first sub. Brother, I feel you. I'm in exactly the same position. Up to 14K, though. And he says, our Laka chat went well. So hopefully, Gaurav, you did bring in Laka, because if you did, he's done the business for you tonight. I didn't bring him in, even though we convinced each other on that Zoom call, that patron Zoom call, that would be a good move to make. But alas, no, didn't bring in Lacazette. Did bring in Iheanacho instead, though, which did go okay. Had I not benched him. Let's talk about some other games. We'll talk about Man City 1, Leeds 2. What the chuffing hell was Stuart Dallas on that morning? Because
I think he got wind that everyone had sold him.
Well, the other question I'd like to ask you is as much about... Yeah, all right, we can talk about Dallas. I think most FPL managers would have benched him this week. But is there something now in that Leeds mentality? Because, so my thoughts on how they approached that game... First of all, they were defensively much better. And we've been talking about how defensively they've improved over the course of the last few weeks. And actually, they showed that. I mean, lived a bit of a charmed life, that goal, no doubt about it. And City were a little bit wasteful. But, you know, Leeds kept them out, kept them at bay for a lot of the time. Now, I wonder whether Leeds are coming into this period of the season now. They're not going to go down.
No.
They're not going to get in Europe.
No.
They're going to have a good finish.
Yeah.
Bielsa is not the sort of manager that's going to let them take their foot off the gas, right? They play how they play, and it's murder ball, and it's high energy, and he will just... They have to keep playing that way. He will demand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, are they now a very dangerous opponent, Leeds? Because they're playing with freedom. They're going to go into these games, and they would have gone to the Etihad at the weekend going, let's just play our game, and, you know, obviously we're going to go for the win, but it's not the end of the world if we lose. We're just going to go and play and express ourselves.
I also think that Leeds like to play the big clubs. They like to go and just have a go at people and show what they potentially have.
So what does this mean for Liverpool travelling to Elland Road next week?
Well, the big change is that you've got to go to Elland Road, which Leeds are far better on the road than they are at home.
So are we.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But they are far better on the road than they are at home. So I think, you know, for them to play at home against a Liverpool side that travel quite well might be a difficult game. But that Liverpool back line is not solid. It isn't. And I don't see a clean sheet for Liverpool in that game because Leeds will do what they do.
Yeah.
They will go and they will attack because that's the way they play football. That's why they have players like Rafinha, because they are an attacking unit. That's how they play. In fact, I wish Spurs would play a bit more like them.
Talk to me about Dallas, Dan. An XG, by the way, Sam, I don't know if you read this, an XG Dallas this game week of 0.13.
Brilliant.
But with two goals. So,
How does he end up with that second one? How does he get there? I remember sitting there, we looked at each other and we were like, what the hell's just
happened? Such a great finish. An XG Delta of 1.87, the top overachiever for this game week. Stuart Dallas, absolutely incredible for his owners. If you've got him and you've got him coming off the bench or you played him, I want to hear about it in the comments below. That is a 17-pointer for Dallas. Are all of us wildcarders that largely sold Dallas? I'm not going to say every wildcarder last week sold Dallas, but the majority will have, I think.
Yeah.
Have we been a bit naive there?
No.
Because Dallas is in an attacking side, out of position and cheap. In any other FPL season, you do not take him out of your team.
No, but the thing is that when you're wildcarding, a lot of people were like, right, I would like to go Trent. So if I want to go Trent, that means I'm probably taking maybe one of my City defenders up to Trent. Got to find some money there. Ooh, if I take Dallas to Phillips, I get the money to do that. So I think there was a large percentage of people that thought, I'll take some money out of Dallas. Also means I can go with the rotating keepers in Mendy and Sanchez that people were looking to do. So all of that meant that taking Dallas down was an enabler. Now for me, in a couple of game weeks time when I play my wild card, I'm not sure I need rotating keepers at that stage because I should have played my bench boost by then, and therefore I can have my cheap second keeper and it will not be an issue. And then I probably will just keep Dallas because I don't mind benching him for the difficult fixtures. But then equally, he's got attacking potential in him. This isn't a fluke. We've seen this before.
Absolutely. A super chat from Eric Bjornsson. He's got the comment in this time, Eric. Well done, mate. Thank you for the super chat. Everyone's talking about the offside line between opponents. How do we know the time the ball was passed? Is VAR checking it? Well, listen, Eric, we could do a whole nother podcast on my thoughts on VAR and when the ball leaves the guy's foot, where and when and how the lines are drawn. There is so much, in my view, ambiguity around it, and it's all done by some guy that we trust that he knows what he's doing down in Uxbridge. And generally speaking, my view is, and they've got some right? I don't want to neg on VAR too badly, because they have got a lot right. But my view is the way the rules are interpreted, because it's not really VAR, it's not really the technology, it's the rules that are being enforced as a result of a sleeve being offside or a ball hitting Son's foot, or it's the rules need to change. There needs to be some,
and they are going to do that, aren't they? They've said that this summer there'll be a big review of VAR, and they'll look at the differences that it's deployed in other countries, you know, the Germany 10 centimetre rule or whatever it is. So I think that they will look at it this summer. I think they've done a lot. Look, I've stood up for VAR a lot this season because I think actually, in many ways, it does make the game better. But decisions like that Liverpool one really upset me.
Okay. A word on City then. So bad result for them. I don't think that's going to derail their title hopes too much. Difficult looking fixtures coming up. So Villa away and then, of course, the blank. before it gets a bit nicer with Palace and Newcastle in the next kind of couple of game weeks after that. But what are we saying about Manchester City then? Is it just time to get rid? I mean, the Pep roulette stung FPL managers like you would not believe this week, right? Crazy. No Cancelo. No Diaz. Went into my... How often did I say, put my wildcard together last week? Well, I'll go Diaz because he's the one that's not going to get rotated. What happens? He gets rotated.
I know.
Is it time to start dwindling down those Man City assets to nothing?
Maybe. I mean, it's really hard thing to say, isn't it? Because, look, Manchester City have been one of the best... No, I'll rephrase that. They are the best team in the Premier League this season because they are winning the league. So they are. But it's really hard from an FPL point of view because I look at that side. We've said for a long period of time that Diaz and KDB are and Ederson, the spine of the team, are the most likely to avoid rotation. But we saw this week that apart from Ederson, they all got done by it. And it's really hard. And I think moving forwards, I only have Diaz, but after my wildcard, I can't see me owning any of them.
No, I think you're right. We've got to move on. But before we do that, Sam, we have to say a massive, massive thank you again to Gurav. Because Gurav has just super chatted, and I don't know how much this is, but it's a red box. We don't often see the red box in the super chat. That is a serious amount of money, Gurav. So honestly, mate, that's incredible. So thank you very much. Really appreciate it. He says, cheers to a brilliant Zoom call. And it was genuinely, it was cracking speaking to Gurav. Really, really good. And for your great work. Take Sam for a nice dinner as a thank you for all of your supporters. Gurav, that is honestly, mate.
Thank you.
That is so kind of you. And the restaurants are just starting to open up here in the UK. So we will absolutely go for a nice dinner on Gurav. So Gurav, thank you so much. I genuinely have never seen a red box on Super Chat before.
No.
That is pretty unreal, Gurav. So listen, mate, that is very kind, very
Gurav,
generous.
Hopefully one of these days we'll bump into each other down at the mighty Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Big Spurs fan, so you never know.
So yes, next time you're there, let me know. And if I'm there as well, we'll meet up for a curry pie and a cup of tea.
There's an offer you can't refuse, Gurav. A curry pie with Sam from FPL Family. That is how we treat our patrons here at FPL Family.
I'll buy you a curry pie.
You bloody better buy it after that, I'll tell you. He's just red super chatted. Of course you're going to buy him a curry pie. Christ almighty.
What if he doesn't like curry pies?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Any pie of your choice.
He's just red super chatted. A pie of your choice, Gurav. Whichever one you wish. Very kind of you, mate. Honestly, that is super, super good. Really, really nice of you to do that.
I have everyone asking me now if they see me at Spurs, will I buy them a pie?
That's what happened. We're rapidly running out of time, Sam. Just a couple more games.
No, not that one.
Well, we are going to finish on that one, but I do want to talk about West Ham 3, Leicester 2 first, because genuinely, and you guys know, a lot of Sundays I've sat here and I've been a bit, I don't know, I've been a bit down on the football every now and again. Sometimes I think there's a bit too much football. Sometimes I don't watch all the games. You know, I do obviously still like it and enjoy it.
It's been a long season.
But it's been a long season and every game just gets a bit like, wow. Here's a game that I thoroughly enjoyed. West Ham 3, Leicester 2. Really good game. Goodness knows what West Ham are playing at, trying to throw a free goal lead away. But
Creswell's gone off.
What happened here in this game? So Creswell, no Declan Rice, no Antonio. It can't just be that Creswell went off, so they started conceding goals.
I think two things happened. I think, first of all, I thought West Ham were brilliant for the majority of this game. And I thought Leicester looked like they were going to bottle it again. They played like they were doing last season when they lost out on the Champions League. Honestly, they really missed the creativity of Maddison and Perez.
So talk to me about these two, right? So I did not know this. I don't know whether this is confirmed or what, but what you've seen reported in the press is that those guys have been out partying and what they now need to do is isolate for 2 weeks because they've broken COVID rules.
Apparently they'll be back for the FA Cup because they've broken the COVID rules. So the FA Cup is next weekend.
Right.
So it's 10... So idiots, basically. Maddison in particular. I mean, Perez, leave that aside for a second. But Maddison, what are you thinking?
Just got back from injury.
You've just come back from injury.
Perez as well. He's just getting a run in the team.
Make the Europa League, the Euro Championships. What are you thinking? Idiots. Anyway, leave that aside. They missed that creativity. Was he still without Harvey Barnes? They really lacked.
How much of a miss is Harvey Barnes?
Well, I think he's big. Because I think
with him out, you've got Iheanacho come in. They've got a formula, him and Vardy, it seems to be working.
Yeah, but they had... So today, they had no connection between the defenders and the midfielders and Vardy and Iheanacho. So what was happening was I thought Iheanacho had a really good game. He was all the movement. He was doing all the things that you would want him to do. Vardy just looked like a complete... He was completely isolated. He was not in the game at all. And from an FPL point of view, you wouldn't want to invest. But we've had that before with Vardy.
One goal since game week 14 for Vardy.
Yeah. And we've had this before without Maddison, that Vardy just isn't... It all the time. Vardy's not the same without Maddison. I won't keep saying it. But Iheanacho, I thought, had a good game. And then what happened, I think, with West Ham was they almost thought they'd won it. They went 3-0 up. They went 4-0 up and then it got ruled out for offside. Yeah. Well, they would have been 4-0 up, sorry, apart from the offside, which was right. VAR got that one right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just... It was a bit of complacency. The Creswell injury is big. When he goes off, they went all out of shape at the back. And it was almost like Iheanacho... And Leicester got a bit of confidence from it.
Seized upon it.
Yeah.
So what is the news on Creswell? Have we heard? Was it a hamstring-looking injury?
I don't know. Because to be honest, as soon as it finished, I went to watch the build-up for Spurs.
Right.
So I didn't pay much attention. I just thought, he's not going to... It was a hamstring. Okay. But it was... He landed from a jump and felt it and went down.
Okay.
And he lay on the floor for a long time with the physio. And then he said he wanted to play on. And he did try... I think he did about 30 seconds and they took him off.
Okay, as he is saying, yeah, Creswell hamstring. So,
it don't look good.
Hamstring is not days, it's weeks and months, right? So keep your eyes on the West Ham press conferences and on the news as to what's up with Creswell. With Newcastle up next for West Ham, it's not as if you're going to get off any of their assets, but if you're not on Jesse Lingard, just do it. I bought him in on a wild card and in the end... do you know what? I never really put too much thought into it. When I hit my wild card button, I was like, he's coming in because he's just on fire right now. No doubt about it.
You could catch him next week, though, couldn't you? If it wasn't a Harry Kane double game week,
you possibly could, but you're not gonna. You're not gonna, are you? You're not gonna. There are people in the live chat. So Arsenal 49, for example, captain Lingard, right? So you captained him this week. If you did that, fair play because he's absolutely on fire. Leicester for their part, then. So this is where the Leicester fixture swing goes into overdrive, right? West Brom at home, Crystal Palace at home, Southampton away. Newcastle at home are their next four. These were the fixtures for which I bought in Kelechi Iheanacho. And I'm looking to add to him from a Leicester perspective, despite the defeat here. Because those four, you could not write or dream up a better four.
No.
So you're not on any Leicester players right now, I don't think.
No.
What are your thoughts about bringing some in ahead of that fixture run?
Honestly, Iheanacho I think is a good pick. But I think for me... He's a wild card pick. Like, I'm not going to take out Watkins or Bamford to bring him in.
Right, okay.
It doesn't feel like that's a wise thing to do. I do think the...
So Bamford's got Liverpool and United and then Brighton away and then Spurs in that run. Do you not think that's a... I mean, there's a hell of a swing there in fixtures. I mean, Bamford's... Of course Bamford could do well in those games, but Iheanacho's already proven that he can mix it up with not just the big boys, West Ham away.
Yeah,
but he's been a bit of a flat-track bully previous to that with the hat-trick against Sheffield United and goals in other games against lesser teams.
Yeah, but you've just said I've got a hamstring injury for Creswell, so I'm not going to make a forward change.
Fine, okay, sure. But if you didn't have that, he'd be in your thoughts?
No, I wouldn't do that as a change, okay. Unless I was wildcarding. That wouldn't be a transfer I would make.
Okay.
I like Iheanacho, I do like him, and I thought he had a really good game today. But I do worry about his minutes. I still worry about his minutes when the others are all there. And I think the fact that they've all messed up a bit might mean that they're not always there in the future. But so I'll be looking at the Leicester defence, I think, more than anything else. But I looked really ropey today. So okay. I'm going to watch him in game week 32 and make a decision after that.
Fine. All right. So Iheanacho top for BPS this game week with 56. Looked really, really good. And I think I saw him up there in the shots league. Yes, second only to Salah with five shots in the game week. So absolutely on fire, and I think he got the three bonus points. He with the three, Lingard and Bowen with the two. So despite the defeat, Iheanacho top for bonus points. Let's talk about Spurs 1, Manchester United 3 then. Let's not talk too much about the VAR controversy. We've been there, we've sort of done that at the top of the show. give me your thoughts on... Well, let's do United in a minute. Let's start with Spurs then, because obviously we've got the double game week coming up. We're all on Kane. A lot of us will be thinking about bringing in Son. Maybe a third one even to complement. I know you're thinking about Hugo Lloris. There will be some wildcarders that brought Reguilón in, or maybe Hugo Lloris last week on their wildcard. Bit unconvincing though today. So what are we saying ahead of the double? Is Kane and Son enough, draw a line? Or should you be adding coming up to this double, which to remind you is Everton away, Southampton at home?
It's a tough one for me, this, because on paper, you have three. Because the fixtures are nice enough that you go three. Do I think there's two clean sheets in it? No. Do I think that Hugo could get save points against both of those sides? Yes. Do I think he could get a clean sheet against one of them? Yes. Probably Southampton. Do I think Reguilón will play both games? Yes. Do I think he could get attacking returns? Yes. Mm-hmm. He should have had one today, but fell over the ball. So I think there's scope for them. The issue is 33. In that, if you've got three, you've got...
And maybe a Man City player. And
maybe a Fulham player.
Yeah.
You've probably not got a Southampton player, but you've got a problem that you've got to deal with again for 33. So I guess it depends on your situation. It's why, in part, I'm thinking about wildcarding ahead of game week 33, because it means I can triple up, take a punt on somebody, and then lose them ahead of 33, but also keep Son and Kane for 34 when we play Sheffield United.
You don't want them back for that, I'd expect. Yeah, because Arsenal putting Sheffield United to the sword, you would expect that's a game where Spurs are going to run free, as Mourinho likes to put it. I personally think, I mean, I'll be going into the double game with Son and Kane. I'm pretty happy with that.
Captain and Kane?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, no, yes, I will be. I will be.
Over Son?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, Harry Kane is having the season of his life, right? There was a stat that Sky pulled up before the game today where, apart from Lewandowski, he's got the most goal involvements in the whole of Europe. I mean, okay, Mourinho, up against the bigger teams, he does this, right? And he did it against Manchester United today. He insists on Kane dropping deep and being more part of that game and getting involved more in the midfield. And I hate that, right? Because when you play the lesser teams, let's just say, I don't know, Southampton at home, I don't think we see as much of that from Harry Kane.
No, we don't.
So I do think we'll be going into a double game week where I'm pretty sure I'm going to be captaining Harry Kane. What's interesting, actually, is there's a lot of other fixtures, like Leicester versus West Brom, where you could make, or even Liverpool versus Leeds has got potential to be some goals.
Newcastle.
Jesse Lingard has got Newcastle. So, listen, we're going to go on the FPL show on Thursday, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a conversation about captaincies for next week. And you could have quite an in-depth conversation, but you are not going to not captain Harry Kane next week, are you? Surely. Surely.
I don't think you are, no. I mean, I think for me, the form that he's had, the season that he's had, okay, blank today, but the season that he's having, I just can't see that you would captain anybody other than Harry Kane this week. If you don't own him, or you're really, really behind in your mini league and you're really, really chasing something, then you might take a punt on somebody. But it's got to be a really compelling argument, like Salah, like Lingard, that makes you kind of go, okay, there's potential that you could get a hat trick in that game.
Okay.
I think it's difficult with Spurs. I don't know is the honest answer. I suspect we'll play better against these two sides coming up. I think that this game is always... We just threw it away again. It was just another one of those that is really frustrating to watch, because we started badly. We came back into it and we played really well for about 25 minutes, 30 minutes at the end of the first half. I thought, actually, we're playing really... After the Son goal in particular, and the Son goal included in that, thought we were playing really well. And then after half-time, Manchester United were really good. Like, whatever Ollie said to them at half-time was far better than what Mourinho said to Spurs at half-time. That is for sure. And we just never really got going until they went 2-1 up. And then we decided we'd try and play some football. And we just didn't take our chances.
But that's classic Mourinho, isn't
it?
It's classic Mourinho. And to be honest with you, I thought Ollie was the same, right? I didn't think United really woke up until the goal.
Yeah.
And after they conceded, they were fantastic. The game was absolutely won in the middle of the park today.
It was a bit of cat and mouse, I think, between who was going and who wasn't. So they needed the goal to spur them. We needed the goal to spur us. But actually, credit to Manchester United, because once they got... Once they did... Once we conceded... once we scored, they really took the game to us and deserved to win the game.
They absolutely deserve to win.
We just have to be better than that. And if we want to compete at a better level than we currently are, we have to finish games. We can't keep doing this, which is going ahead and losing the game. It just needs to improve.
Okay, all right. I thought you caught Pogba on a good day. You caught Pogba on a good day. He's inconsistent, don't get me wrong.
I thought Pogba was pretty poor today.
No, you are joking. No. He had one of the best games I've seen in ages, Pogba.
Well, then he's pretty
awful. No, I'm not having that at all. He was fantastic. Particularly in that second half, he was fantastic. And I think the protection that Scott McTominay gives in the midfield... I like Scott McTominay, by the way, United fans. Let me know. Lots of talk of,
I thought Fred was better than Pogba.
Well, listen... Fred played well as well, I thought. But I think when you have that protection of those two and Pogba's got the licence to go and run the game as he wants, he definitely had a good game today.
It's interesting, though, because I thought the first 25, 30 minutes of that game, Pogba was the reason why Man United were bad. Because they were manipulating their squad into him being on the pitch. And it didn't work. And then in the second half, Pogba decided to play better. So as a result of that, he did look better in the second half. But I thought I don't think the Man United team is improved by Pogba. I think they are better without him.
That was not the case today, I can tell you. I don't know what game you were watching, but
the same one as you.
Not the case today. The fact that McTominay was there, the fact that he had a bit more freedom to go forward, he bossed it. He absolutely bossed the middle of the park there. I didn't think Højbjerg or anybody else had any answers in the middle of the park. He was class. We'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
We definitely will.
Where else from the United faithful, though, are you going to be looking, right? So the United fixture's coming up. Let's have a look. Burnley at home next. So you ain't selling Bruno ahead of that, and you're probably going to keep Luke Shaw, as I certainly will be. Leeds, Liverpool, Villa and Leicester after that. So difficult looking fixtures for United, but if they can show a bit of form like they did against their old boss today, then they're probably a hold, aren't they? Certainly Bruno. Or is Bruno a hold?
I don't know. I think there's definitely a conversation that you could
have a feel in some of the FPL communities about, well, I'm not going to be captaining him much between now and the end of the season. What am I going to do with Bruno? And the returns have dried up a little bit for him, right? And it's all relative, right? Because previous to this little inverted commas dry spell, Bruno has been sensational for months, right? So he's been FPL gold. But is he just starting to feel the heat a bit of a long Premier League season? What do you think?
I don't know. I think Bruno's a phenomenal player. I guess for me, on a wild card, the decision will come between Bruno and Salah. That will be the decision. And depending upon what happens in the next, well, probably game week 32, will make that decision for me. Because if Bruno doesn't perform against Burnley, and Salah does in his next game, then I'll probably make that move. And it would be really hard to do that because I really, really enjoy owning Bruno Fernandes.
Know
and
what he can
it
do on
will
his day.
Punish me if he performs. And that's the issue, is that it hurts when he does something and you don't own him. But then it does with Salah too. So there's...
I think on another day, Bruno could have had returns today. I remember one belter of a shot that Hugo did really well to palm past the post. Yeah. So on another day, Bruno gets points and we're not even having this conversation. But I'm just starting to feel in the FPL community like there's a few thinking of summoning.
The conversation about Bruno isn't really about today. It's about a combination of the fact that he is an expensive FPL asset and we're a few weeks of nothing. Or just an assist here or there. And it doesn't feel enough for the price, I guess.
I just think he might just be starting to feel in his legs this Premier League season. I don't know.
He's
still
a long, hard season,
still class.
Isn't it?
And I tell you what, I ain't selling him. No doubt about it. On his day, he can do the business. I ain't selling him. We can't talk too much about Sheffield United versus Arsenal because we didn't watch the game. But I think it is still 3-0. I'm just going to do a quick refresh here and have a look. It is still 3-0. I don't know if it's finished, guys. You can tell us in the live chat if it's finished. I think it
should
might
have about
still
ish.
Be just about ish going on. Just about ish going on, maybe.
Who was it? Laka Laka and who?
Laka Laka and... I did see it in the live chat, but I've forgotten. You guys will tell us, I'm sure, in just a second.
Oh, was it Martinelli?
It was Martinelli, quite right. Yes, Martinelli, another player I like. I do like Martinelli, good player. Let's have a quick reminder of our Patreon, guys, if you want to go and support us over on patreon.com/FPL family. Lots of goodness over there if you want to come and support the channel and support what Sam and I do. Genuinely enjoying the Slack a lot at the minute. I've toned Twitter down and I've turned the slack up.
Oh, God, poor slackers.
Yeah, but no, listen, I'm enjoying it. It's great. And you've got a lot of the guys that are in the live chat now are all Slack members in our Patreon. And it genuinely is really, really good fun. It's full time, by the way, at Arsenal 3-0.
No surprise in that scoreline, by the way.
No, two bonus points for holding, by the way. Clinton, two bonus points for holding.
Where's Harry?
So, Tips will be loving that. Still no assist for holding since that jammy one that he got.
What is it you've got your bet on?
No assist for holding between now and the end of the season, and that was quite a few weeks ago. So it's not going to happen, I don't think. So if you guys want to support us, patreon.com/FPL family over on the old Patreon. Three tiers you can get involved in. $3 tier gets you the bonus podcasts. We do an Ohana podcast just before the game week that gets released on a Friday morning. Whenever there's an international break, we do like an Ask Us Anything, where anything goes, which tends to be quite good fun, actually. And of course, you get the Slack community access as well. If you want to go up to the $5 tier, you get both of those things, but you also get entered into our Manager of the Month competition to win one of the prizes from our sponsors, kickingtheballs.com. All the links in the description below for all of that good stuff. And if you want to support us at the highest tier, over in the Zoom tier, you get the podcast, the Slack, you get entered into the monthly competition, and you get the one-to-one sessions, which Gurav was part of this week. I think you spoke to Duncan recently as well.
And Steve.
And to Steve and to B as well recently.
Oh,
so
I've been to a lot of people
lots
lately.
Of good conversations nice. About not just wild cards, but you know, sometimes we have those sessions and genuinely it's just a football chat, right? We do a bit about FPL, but people just like genuinely having a chat with us about football, which is great, which is really, really good. So guys, if you want to get involved and help us support the channel over there, patreon.com/FPL family. We'd love you to get involved over there. Let's have a look, Sam, at our teams for this week. Here is your team. I don't know if you've got it up in front of you or whether you can see.
Oh, I know what's happened
the
with
the screen over here. What stands out is one hell of a bench, which we've discussed already this evening on FPL Family. But talk us through the team. 36 points. Looks like a small red arrow. But Watkins is coming on, right?
It's actually 44 because Watkins is definitely coming on.
Great.
For
okay, good. Okay,
so
good.
Actually, that should give me a greenish arrow, small green one.
Yeah.
I went rogue after I posted my team the other night, Friday.
Yeah.
I was in the Slack.
And good who are you going to blame?
And good old Joblob, Nathan Joblin, said, I'm going to play Alex McCarthy this week because he probably won't play. But if he does, he's got a much nicer fixture. And I thought,
true. Yeah, true facts. Yeah.
True is that.
Yeah.
I'll do that. So I swap my keepers.
Okay.
So there is potential, of course, that Alex McCarthy plays tomorrow. Plus, it's quite nice. I've got something to look forward to tomorrow.
Something to look forward to. Yeah,
so
there we go.
If Alex McCarthy turns up tomorrow night, then let's see what happens against West Brom.
You never know.
If he doesn't, yes. I'll take Martinez's 4 points off the bench. So worst case scenario, I finish this game week on 48, which as a non-wild carder this week, I'm actually quite pleased with that because I think the players that performed were often the ones that were targeted on people's wildcards. So the fact that I don't have the
it feels about par. I don't feel like it's a very high scoring game this week.
I think the top 1,000 average is 44.
Right, okay, yeah, that sounds about
right. So it's about right. So I think it's okay, and I think moving forward into game week 32, there's a lot of players with nice fixtures in there for 32, plus a couple of Spurs with a free transfer to bring me up to another. I do have good intentions of playing my bench boost next week.
You say that every week and you never play it.
This week.
This was the week.
This is the week.
This was the week.
So this one might have been the week. But next week is when I intend to play it. The only chance I don't play it is if we get an announcement about game week 35 beforehand.
Right, okay.
Because
there is a potential big double on the horizon.
Because the way that the fixtures are going and the FA Cup and blah, 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 there could be another big double in 35. So I am slightly tempted to hold it. And news on Creswell might also make me hold it because I don't want a -4 on my cards.
Okay. All right. But the team doesn't look too bad.
It's fine.
In reasonable shape. I mean, you've got your two Leeds assets there. And we've spoken already about the Leeds fixtures coming up, looking pretty tricky. Creswell, yes, if that's a hamstring, that's probably going to be a transfer for next week. You've got to sort that out.
The big question with that is, do I go Reguilón for 1 week or do I go with a Leicester defender?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Okay. Because if you bring Reguilón in, then the week after you've got Kane, Son, Reguilón, Diaz and McCarthy.
But I am wildcarding,
well?
So that's...
Oh, but you are going to wildcard that week.
So that doesn't matter.
Well, you can fix that, right? You can fix that. Okay, well, 36 points were plus or minus a bit from Watkins and Martinez and a few. Probably going to be the low 40s in the end. So about
high 40s in the end.
High 40s in the end. Going to be a reasonable game week, I think. Here's my team for the week. 59 points.
Your bench
so
is still
happy with that.
Still pretty smart.
Yeah, the bench. Well, no, the bench was crap, except for Iheanacho. He's the one that I obviously regret. And to be fair, I bought Iheanacho in, not necessarily for the West Ham game. I want him for the next four, right? We talked about the Leicester fixtures and how they're going to improve. Do I wish I'd played him this week? Yes, of course. But it was a straight choice between either him or Vidra. And actually, when Vidra got the goal, I was like, well, I've made the right choice then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't regret making that choice at all, because Vidra at home to Newcastle versus Iheanacho away at West Ham, I'm going to play the fixture.
And until about 70 minutes in that West Ham game, you'd made 100% the right decision.
Yeah, sure. And I know what you guys are going to say. Well, you've got to play the form over fixture. You've got to play Iheanacho's form over Vidra's fixture. But listen, I wouldn't have done it differently, I don't think. I was always quite... I never really thought about playing Iheanacho this week. I was always going to be bringing him in for the West Brom game and then go after that. But overall, I would say my wild card has been a reasonable success, actually. 59 points. And my overall rank is back up to 155k. I was down at 212, so I'm up by about 26%. It's a reasonable green arrow for me. What's important is that I've got the players now that are not hurting me anymore. Like the Canes and the Lingards were absolutely killing me every single week.
My differential picks from
and
you.
And finally, I've got, you know, something to cheer about from a Lingard perspective. I also, my wild card went a little bit different. I got away with one with Reece James, no doubt about it, because he didn't start the game, comes on, gets the assist.
Are you worried about that going forward?
No, I saw Tuchel saying before the game that he just wanted to give Reece James a bit of a rest because he'd played a lot of football recently.
Oh, a bit like Werner.
I don't see Callum Hudson-Odoi being the long-term solution for that position. I do think that's Reece James's position to lose. And I do think he's just given him a bit of time out because they've played a lot of football recently. So I'm okay with Reece James. It was a gamble going him over Rudiger because, of course, Rudiger got the 90 minutes. But I'm okay with that. Trent's obviously the big one, right? I haven't cheered a goal like that for a long time because not only did it mean a lot to us in terms of the football, but it meant a lot for my FPL team as well. So I was well happy with the Trent goal. The Vidra goal put me up like 40k places. It was ridiculous. Like, no one's got him. I thought, oh, everyone's got him on the wild card. But listen, no one's got Vidra. So bringing him in, I don't know how much I'm going to play him from now on, right? But at 4.7, I bought him in as a bit of filler in the wild card. Played him. I would have been better off playing Iheanacho was the reality. But Vidra with the goal and the bonus point, but getting me a 40k rank rise was great. And as we mentioned before, I bought Mason Mount in as a little bit of a differential in that midfield. And that feels justified as well, because I can feel there's a bit of a movement towards him now as well. So I'm pretty happy with where my team is. I was always hoping at 212k to play the wild card. I was hoping to probably get up into, I don't know, top 100k. Get back into the top 100k, maybe sort of 80, 70 if I really push it. But I think the way my season was decimated over the last few weeks with Kane and Lingard and genuinely, I look back at those few last weeks and I think I haven't made a lot of bad decisions. I've just made one really bad decision, which is I didn't get Kane. I did not get Kane when I should have got Kane, and that's cost me big time. And to a lesser extent, Jesse Lingard as well. But not having Kane.
It's been a short-term thing, hasn't it, Lingard? It's hurt you for a couple of weeks, whereas Kane's been hurting you for weeks now.
Yeah, Kane, not having Kane absolutely ruined me. So you can absolutely blame me for wrecking him and his two-pointer this game week.
You won't next week.
Is the season back on track? I don't know, 59 points is good. I'm okay with that. 155k.
Yeah, there you go.
So, listen, I can get top 100k from there. We'll see how it goes. But a good game week. I think the wild card has done its job.
You're done, right?
I'm out. Yeah, that's it. I'm done. 59. So I'll be down a bit, right? Because there'll be some Lacazettes and there'll be a few out there, right? And we've got
Dominic
the games
Calvert
tomorrow
Lewin.
And some Everton players. So I'm not going to finish on 155. But I'm okay with that as it stands. But more importantly, I'm happier with my team now. Much happier now than I was pre-wildcard.
Yes.
Much happier.
Yeah,
much happier. So there we go. Up to 155k. The season somewhat back on track. Thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. Been an interesting game. We have enjoyed the football, actually. Enjoyed the football this week. Some good games.
Particularly the Colts, right?
Particularly London County Colts. Well done, London County Colts. Enjoyed the football, but have to say, the dark shadow of VAR really did put a bit of a downer on some of the games this weekend. I'm trying to let it not affect me, but some of them were absolutely shocking. But anyway, enough about that. I enjoyed the football more than I have been doing recently. Could be something to do with the fact that Liverpool won a couple of games back to back.
Funnily enough, I didn't quite enjoy this weekend.
Starting to enjoy the football again now that Liverpool won a couple of games. Tell the guys where they can find us this week. Sam,
we're busy
doing
this week. You find Lee on the official podcast, and that'll be out Wednesday afternoon, I believe, maybe Wednesday evening. We'll both be on the FPL show this week. Family's in for the double game week talking about Spurs.
Is in to talk about Spurs. What
to be
a shot.
Fair, we were booked for this before it was announced that it was Spurs double game week, so they haven't just got me in to talk about Spurs, although of course I would delight in talking about it for multiple for an hour. There'll also be a scout the game week. I've also got a pundit article out this week.
Loads of stuff.
It's all go this week. So yeah, it's going to be a busy week. Thank goodness. The kids are going back to school.
The kids are back at school, no doubt about it. And the shops are opening. There is light at the end of the tunnel in the UK. Guys, stay safe wherever you are in the world. I know, you know, we're on the road to recovery here in the UK, but I know and I appreciate that's not the case in a lot of other areas. So guys, please stay safe. Look after each other. Look after your family and friends. We'll see you this time for another FPL Family 8:30 next Sunday, when we'll be finding out how Spurs have got on in their first game of their double game week. And Sam will have the Spurs goggles on once again. Leave us a like before you go. If you're new to the channel, hit that subscribe button as usual. And we'll see you this time next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye.